All right. Welcome to the Free Stretch. I am Bobby Fenton, live here on Joe Bucks Fan. Thank you for joining me here as we get set for another round of Bucks football, and we get set for another round of not knowing what in the hell is going to happen or what to expect. Very disappointing that we're going into this ball game in Buffalo on Sunday. Only the second time the Bucks have ever been in Buffalo, by the way, with the weird NFL scheduling quirks that existed throughout the 80s and 90s. But very disappointing we're going into this game at 2-3 and feeling like the whole season's going to go down the drain if they don't win the football game. And yet, that is where the Bucks find themselves. And so, as always with this show, we post it on Joe Bucks Fan later in the week, on Thursdays. So, it's a balance of how much do we want to react to last week's game, or by the time we get to the show on Thursday, is it already time to start looking forward? We always try to do a little bit of both. So let me tell you this, first of all. Every single week we do this show, and this is the, what is it, the seventh one I believe we've done now. Every single week we come in here, and I always say the same thing. Let's not be reactionary. Let's not go too hard one way or the other, depending on what happened in this one game, on this one day, this past weekend, whatever game it was. And we've had to do that for the highs, which was the opener against Chicago. The lows, like the Minnesota loss, the Patriots loss, and now this one. And yet, I'd even be lying to myself right now a little bit if I just touted the same old line, oh, we're not going to be reactionary, it's just one game, because it feels like more than that. And mathematically, in no way is there a problem. It's not about math. Being 2-3, you can easily win your division. Teams do that all the time. You can easily be a wild card. It's not that 2-3 itself is so bad. It's how the Bucks have looked, both in their losses and their wins, and especially in this game on Sunday. So let's get a few things straight about what happened last weekend and looking ahead to this weekend. Arizona is not good, okay? It's not like all those guys. Like Minnesota, if you remember a few weeks ago on the podcast, I said, Minnesota, that they shouldn't be that tough. I mean, the Bucks should be able to handle them. It's a backup quarterback, Case Keenum. And it's still true. They should have been able to handle them. But Minnesota's pretty decent. They've got a good defense. And now that Aaron Rodgers is not playing for the Packers the rest of the season, they got a really good chance to win that division. That's a decent team. All right, Arizona is not good, okay? They're not going to win any divisions. Carson Palmer, I've been watching him for a few other games this year. If you want to get a feel for a team, honestly, that's not your own, you know, we have a feel for the Bucks because we watch them every week, but the best way to get a feel for a team is to have money on them and be relying on them. And I've bet on the Cardinals a couple times this year, and then watching them in the fourth quarter when I needed them to go pick up a touchdown for me, and watching them fumble around and bumble and just be inept. And Carson Palmer goes out there and completes 75 passes in a row or whatever it was. Arizona is not good, okay? Arizona is not good. And for the Buccaneers to go out there like that and play the way they did, you're damn right it's more than one loss. And you're not being reactionary to say, hey, I'm worried about this team. It's been five games now, and I am prepared to say this. I'm only going to go this far. The Bucks are not nearly as good as I thought they were before the season started. Not nearly as good as I thought they were. That's as far as I'm going to go. I'm not going to say they're bad. I'm not going to say they can't do anything this year. I'm not going to say it's a lost season or that they can't make the playoffs or that they can't, you know, I'm not doing that yet. But my expectations, and I imagine yours too, were severely distorted before this season started. That is becoming evident to me now. And, you know, that New England game 2 weeks ago, I came on the podcast the next week, talked about how proud of the defense I was. Defense played a great game. That was Tom Brady, you know? That was that vaunted Patriots offense, and even though the Patriots have had problems this year, offense hasn't really been one of them. It's been their defense. And the Buccaneer defense that Thursday night, you know, a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago now, they were really good. I mean, they were really good, and we touted them, and I was just heaping praise upon them. They deserved it. And it was just, I don't know anymore. It's the NFL. But if you take the Bucs defense as a whole and look at the ratings and the metrics, and I'm not just talking about total yards and all this stuff, the old school stuff. I'm talking about the newer, more modernized, you know, more accurate ways of evaluating a defense. and teams in general, Bucks defense has been one of the worst in the league. And to go out there and be down 31-0 against the Arizona Cardinals, again, it's hard to imagine a good team doing that, but I always try and tell myself, for those of you who are old schoolers who've been around a while, remember the 99 Bucks, who had one of the best defenses in NFL history, lost in the NFC Championship to the Rams. I remember them going out to Oakland, and it was in December. It wasn't even early in the year. It was getting close to playoff time, and the Raiders beating them 45-0 at the Coliseum. And that, at that point, they were something like 10-3 or 10, you know, they ended up finishing 11-5 in the regular season that year. But they were really good that year, and they went in the playoffs, and they almost beat the Rams. They would have won the Super Bowl, all right? That was a Super Bowl caliber team, and they got beat 45-0 by the Oakland Raiders, who were bad that year. I don't think the Raiders were even that good back then. So it happens, but then I think about all the other games, and there have been, unfortunately, so many of them in the recent past, like the past 5-6 years. These blowout losses, I mean, they're just coming to mind. Baltimore comes to mind. Atlanta comes to mind a couple of times. There's been a few of them where the Bucks didn't just get beat, but they were just toasted by the second quarter. And so, in the first half this past Sunday, everybody was all over the defense, rightfully so. Vernon Hargraves is an issue. His play has been, honestly, just playing bad. And now he's had to answer to that, and Dirk Koetter says he's concerned. Hargraves has said, yeah, he should be concerned. I haven't given him a reason not to be concerned. I mean, everybody's saying the right stuff, but flat out, Vernon Hargraves hasn't been very good. He makes up for it by playing a million yards off of receivers. He's just one guy, though. Up front, there is absolutely no pass rush. The run defense was bad. Mike Smith ripped them. Said we don't have guys in their gaps, this and that. You know, it's a bad sign when a safety leads the team in tackles. How about three guys in the secondary leading the team in tackles? Brent Grimes was up there. Justin Evans was up there. And Hargraves, actually, who missed a ton, but still had, I mean, three guys in the secondary were the three team leaders in tackles against the Cardinals. And Adrian Peterson, who should not. Adrian Peterson, say what you want about him off the field, but on the field, you know, in his prime, he was a stud. He should not be doing that right now. But it wasn't just the defense, in all fairness. And the offense, I mean, they scored 33 points in the second half, which that might be a team record for all I know. I'm not sure. But you can't go out there. I mean, again, you look at the overall performance of the offense, it's going to look pretty decent on paper. It's going to look like statistically they put up some number. You can't go out there and not have points at halftime. Like, you can't, defense was terrible. Not defending. I mean, the offense, you know, certainly it wasn't all their fault, but it wasn't all the defense's fault either. The three and outs are ridiculous. This team in short yardage is ridiculous. This team in the goal line is ridiculous. I'm seeing third and twos for the Bucks. Third down and twos, and their insistence on throwing on these downs is just maddening. But it would be bad enough if they just insisted on throwing on third and two. But they're running third and twos where all the routes are taking them way upfield. They ran a third and something. It was really short. Near midfield at one point. And I'm thinking inside, I know how bad the running game is. I don't care. You run the ball. You're going to get a first down if you run it. Run it twice. Go for it on fourth down. You're at midfield. Two runs for 2 yards, you'll get the 2 yards. But that's not good enough. So they drop back to throw. And it wasn't even like, hey, we're going to run one of those, like, running play, passing plays, you know, where it's a passing play, but it's almost like a running play, like a high percentage, short. No, they were like, all the routes were going 7 to 10 yards, all of them. Watch it again. I have no idea what they're trying to do. If I was standing 2 yards away from you, and I said, hey, could you hand me that pair, those keys right there? I'm going to go to the store and get some real quick. Would you throw me the keys? No, you'd step to me one step and you'd hand them to me. If I was across the room, you might toss them. If you're 2 yards away from me? I mean, maddening. Absolutely maddening. Not just the idea of throwing it, but the play design. Let's back up a second. All of us, whether it be radio talk show hosts, podcast hosts like me, people writing, you know, bloggers, people in the newspaper, you know, Roy Cummings, Rick Stroud, all the great people, all of us in the media, I don't even consider myself to be in the media, but all the people who talk about these things, admittedly, we do not know anything. Dirk Cutter, all right, Mike Smith, all the coaches, and the players too for that matter, have forgotten more about football than I'll probably ever know. And I'm a football guy. But admit, and that goes for all of us, okay? Let's not think we know everything. So I'm not trying, whenever I criticize a coach or criticize something, you know, I'm not saying I know more than this other person. None of us do. But that doesn't make it undeniable. I mean, you can see things, and you don't have to be a football mind. On third and two, or any short yardage, the way this team's been going, run the ball. And if you're going to throw the ball, you know, there are plays for that, like short yardage pass, and they're not even doing that. So anyway, and then the whole thing, Jameis, you know, he gets hurt. Ryan Fitzpatrick, we didn't think he was going to be that good of a backup before the season started. He actually did a pretty good job. Hats off to him. But in my opinion, this is bad. To me, right now, this is bad. This isn't just a routine, oh, hey, bump in the road. It happens. It's the NFL. I myself have been telling you every week, oh, it's the NFL. Nothing carries over from week to week. Ignore everything all the time. Basically, that's what you have to do. And I admit that. I mean, the Bucs could reel off six in a row and be leading the NFC South a month and a half from now, for all we know. But it just doesn't feel like something good teams do the way they've performed in the first five games. And I'm not even just talking about the one game against Arizona, although that was the first time that I sat there on my couch and actually questioned myself. I almost became a reactionary. Maybe I'm being reactionary today. And I'm not the type. I mean, you know me. If you haven't heard this podcast yet, if this is your first one, or if you never heard my radio show before that, then maybe you don't know. But I'm the last guy. I'm never going to do anything just to sound good on the radio or on the podcast. I'm never going to do anything for ratings. I'm never going to, like, put on a show, basically, even though it's a show. I'm never going to put on, I'm going to talk like I'd be talking if I wasn't on the air. All right, so I'm not going to come in and, like, trump something up to make it sound just so I can sound cool on the podcast. You know, I don't do that. I try and stay even keel. But I'm worried now. And this is another, and I'll tell you right now, I love the Bucs this weekend. Love them against Buffalo. This is a Buffalo team. Joe on the website today, you can go scroll back down there. There's a picture of Gerald McCoy on the article, posted about how Buffalo, if you look at the advanced metrics that are out there, if you want to avail yourself of them, it is a terrible blocking team. Tyrod Taylor doesn't strike fear into me. I'm not the one out there on the field, I know. This receiving crew, I mean, LeSean McCoy's the leading receiver. All right, there's no reason this Buffalo team should be a problem for a Buccaneer team that is what we think it is. And I said last week, this is one of those if you are what you say you are games. If you're actually this good team that maybe hasn't gotten off to a great start, but you're still really good, then if you are what you say you are, you'll go beat Arizona's ass. And they didn't. Not only that, but they got their ass beat. The final score looked closer than that, but they got their ass beat. So if you are what you say you are, I mean, same thing with Buffalo. Like, every time I've told you I'm iffy on the Bucs, they've done pretty well so far on these podcasts. Every time I've told you, oh, love the Bucs this week, this is their week, they've gotten absolutely hammered. So take for what it's worth, but if they don't beat the Bills, and they're 2-4, and they're coming off these two losses to mediocre teams, I don't know what we're clinging to. I don't know what we're clinging to. And the offense, again, even though they've done better, it doesn't get absolution, because you got to go out and do better than that in the first half. And you can't have your team behind the eight ball that quickly, you know, 24-0 at halftime. You had a chance even to get that touchdown before the half, and I'll tell you this right now, I had no problem with Dirk Cutter going for it. Yeah, in hindsight, you'd love to have that field goal at the end of the game, but you know what? That's hindsight, because you didn't know you weren't going to make it. The whole point is you're trying to score a touchdown. You thought they could make it. And they can't even get that. I mean, any play calling on the goal line with this team, if the Buccaneers are set up at midfield, and they hit a big pass over the middle, and the guy's running, I'm just screaming, score, score, because I know if he gets tripped up at like the 8, You're like, oh, no problem, we're set up. No, that's it. You're kicking a field goal. Like that, you missed your chance. When they score from outside the red zone, that's usually their best shot. If they don't, they're usually going to settle and stall and kick a field goal. And that's good. Finishing drives is everything. Everything. 4 points every time. And those points end up being pretty big later. So, looking ahead now, again, I could sit here and ramble on and on and on the whole time, and it wouldn't matter. But I have a hard time believing if the Bucks are what they say they are. And right now, you know, there's still uncertainty with Jameis Winston and all that stuff. And Buffalo's defense is tough, okay? It's not, their offense is not that good, but their defense is tough. I, again, just feel like this is a bounce-back game. Joe posted another article on JoeBucksFan.com about how Dirk Cutter has done post-blowout. Unfortunately, in the past few years, there is not an extensive list, but a substantial list, enough to where it's not just a small sample size of blowouts we have to go on and look at the next week's Bucks performance. They've done pretty well. Won all but one of them, I believe. And if you go back past Dirk Cutter, there's even more of them, but you know, we're not doing that right now. So, at 2-3, though, if you lose the game Sunday and you go 2-4, forget about the mathematical part, which wouldn't be great, but again, is not something you can't overcome. But just imagine what this podcast is going to sound like. Imagine Ira, imagine Bucks Uncensored with Justin, Jeff Cameron, all our podcast people. Imagine all your comments on the website. I love reading the comments. I don't know why. I've always loved comment sections. I'm a sucker. Imagine all that. Newspapers, radio talk show. It ain't going to be pretty. It's going to get ugly quick. And we don't play the games. How we react in the media, what we say on our podcast or on sports talk radio or on blogs, doesn't affect how the Bucks play. They're not going to play better or worse because of that. But, and again, not to be reactionary, this is a really big game on Sunday. You win this, you're 3-3, and it kind of, okay. You know, then we settle in, we get our first division crack the week after. But you lose this game at 2-4, I don't know what we're clinging to. But we're not there yet. We're not there yet, and this team, you know, they've disappointed before and bounce back. It does not feel like a playoff team right now. And the only barometer I had this season, starting the season out, I mean, it's been a decade since they've been in the playoffs. Their last playoff win, you probably remember, was the actual freaking Super Bowl itself in January of 2003. I had just gotten out of college. I'm married, middle-aged, and I have two kids now. And the Bucks have not won another playoff game since that night, okay? And it's been a decade since they even went. So before this season started, as much as I want to win the division, all that stuff, that wasn't even what I was thinking about. It was playoffs or bust. Playoffs or bust. If they go 9-7 and make the playoffs, great. If they go 10-6 and miss them, that's worse. Even though they won one more, I don't care. Playoffs. However, by any means, playoffs or bust. And right now, if you told me they were going to make the playoffs, I'd be surprised. I haven't given up on it, but I'd be surprised. So, if you have any thoughts about it, you want to get in hold of me, always easy to do. At Bobby Game Day is my Twitter feed. Email me at BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com. Post a comment on the podcast on JoeBucksFan.com when it gets posted. I'll see it. Whatever. Any way you want. But again, the easiest way, BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com, or just, you know, send me a tweet. Send it out there for everybody to see. I don't care. I'm always, you know, you can always get a hold of me. I did want to tell you one little quick story, too, about the rest of my week. Because, as you've heard me talk about before, I do play football myself. Not just flag football. I'm talking about real football. I play for the Dunedin Pirates of the Florida Football Alliance, which is an 18 and over semi-pro football league. It's not like, I mean, it's competitive, but it's not try. You can play. If you want to play and you're willing to go out there and show up and put the pads on and do it, you can play in this league too. You can line up right alongside me in a matter of days. Go to DunedinPirates.com. It's full pads, NFL rules. We play our home games at Dunedin High School. There's teams all over the state. season runs from January to April. 5 home games, 5 road games. We go to Miami, we go to Jacksonville, then a few around here in the area. There's a couple teams around the Tampa area, so there's only a little bit of travel involved. And I have a blast with it. I'm 37 years old. I probably have no business being out there. I may very well get seriously injured and be singing a different tune a few months from now. But I've done it a couple years in the past. I did it this past season, and it's a blast. I mean, it really is, especially if you're somebody who, you know, thought you'd never play football again and had just kind of written that off. If you want it that way, that's fine. I mean, I've talked to a lot of my peers and said, hey, you want to come out? And they're like, what are you talking about? I'm 36. I'm not coming out. You know, they just look at me like I'm crazy. But it's one of the funnest things I've done. I mean, to be able to do that again. Anyway, we started out training camp this week. We're actually getting ready for the season now. And we have a new head coach, Ernest Givens, who played for the Houston Oilers back. And you might remember him, Haywood Jeffries, Drew Hill, you know, Warren Moon. All those guys in the Astrodome in the 80s and early 90s. Ernest Givens, he's from St. Pete, went to Lakewood High School, and played a long career for the Oilers, and he's now our head coach. So we go out to practice the other night, and we practiced at Dunedin Highland Middle School. And it's my, you know, I played last year, but that was a different coach. This is my first time meeting Ernest Givens. The whole staff, it's a bunch of guys he's played with before, a couple other ex-Oiler guys. And they, first of all, like, it's just shorts and a t-shirt. I'm thinking, okay, cool, let's go out here and see what this is about. You know, first practice. I mean, as I sit here right now, my ass, literally my ass, my glutes, my hamstrings, my calves all sore. And I'm a workout guy. A lot of people aren't workout guys. I run sprints, I lift weights. I mean, I'm not, like, out of shape coming off the couch. And I'm sore. We ran our asses off. Our asses were literally laying on the ground at the end of it. We ran sprints. We ran shuttles. After that, when we're tired, hey, Zay, let's do a 12-minute run. We did a 12-minute run, which I won, by the way, at age 37. There's a bunch of 20-something kids and me. And I'm out there running circles around them. Now, once we put the pads on, it'll be a different story. I'm not trying to brag or anything, but just pure conditioning stuff, I can run with that. I run with the kids. Kind of amazed, by the way, at what some really good athletes, because we have some really good young 20-something stud athletes, how poor the endurance physical conditioning is on a lot of them. But it's like, you know, remember Bum Phillips coaching the Oilers? Remember Earl Campbell? They had the 12-minute run then, too. And I think Earl Campbell, like, either finished in like 45 minutes or something. It took him 45 minutes to do a 12-minute run. Or he bowed out or something. It was just terrible. Like, he was completely out of shape. And the media, after the run, you know, in training camp, they talked to Bum Phillips. They're like, hey, what's going on? Are you worried about Earl Campbell, man? I mean, this guy can barely, he can't run a 12-minute run. You know, I mean, he can barely go a mile. And Bum Phillips goes, well, I'll tell you what, if we ever face fourth in a mile, I won't give him the ball. Otherwise, I'm not worried about it. But we went through formations. We went, and here's another thing. I'm 6 feet, 205 pounds. You know, I'm built like a wide receiver in today's NFL, although I hardly am that, but that's my point. I get there, and I'm one of the bigger guys. They look at me, they're like, oh, you're a D-end, right? I'm like, D-end? I'm 6 foot 205. So my point is, if you're out there right now thinking, hey, I want to play some ball, I think I might have a chance to do this. You know, if you got, you know, you don't have to be big, believe me. Don't let that intimidate you, because you, clearly, as I'm saying, you don't have to be. And if you are big, you'll have a leg up right there. Come on out. Check out the website. If you want to, like I said, if you want to just ask me about it, email me at bobbygameday@yahoo.com. Or if you want, go to dunedinpirates.com. That's the website, and check it out. Some other news. I always try and do a little bit of news here on the podcast every week that just came across this morning. And usually I record on Wednesday nights, but I'm waiting until day of today because I was pretty tired last night. I was watching some playoff baseball. The Jacksonville Jaguars will be wearing, wait for it, new uniforms in 2018. Now, why am I mentioning that on this podcast? Well, one, I'm a uniform guy. I love sports uniforms. I love simple, clean, good-looking sports uniforms, I should say. But two, this is news that directly affects the Bucks, because as of now, the Bucks have the number 31 jerseys out of 32 teams in the NFL. Uniforms as a whole, not just jerseys. The Bucks are the ugliest uniforms in this league outside of Jacksonville. That's about to change. And the only reason Jacksonville's are worse, by the way, isn't because of the actual uniform, it's the helmet. The two-tone gradient helmet, which should never have been allowed to see the light of day. But by all accounts, that, and we don't know for sure that that's going away, but I would assume, and I'm just assuming now, that any uniform overhaul of that team would include a solid-colored helmet that should be black. And that would bump the Bucs down to the worst uniforms in the NFL. If they, you might already think they are. Like I said, the helmet saves them because Jacksonville's helmets are so bad. With the Jags changing next year. But it also gives me hope, too. When I heard that news today, I thought, hey, maybe the Bucs, you know, if the Jags, because the Jags just changed to theirs 5 years ago, and that's the limit. You have to do at least 5 years before you can change in between uniforms. So to know that Jacksonville was able to recognize how bad something was and change from it is encouraging. It's very discouraging that uniforms like that ever became real to begin with. I don't understand how people's minds work. I'll be the first one to admit, I just don't get people. Sometimes I just want to check out of people, like no people, because I don't get people. Like, I remember the Mark Brunell years in the 90s and when they won the AFC, almost won the AFC. You know, those were nice uniforms. The black helmet, teal jersey, white pants. They had good striping, good piping. And yet, somebody thought it was a good idea. They said, hey, let's screw with this. Like, people, just look, never underestimate, and this goes for all facets of life, never underestimate people who may be smart, may have a lot of money, may have credentials, may have a resume better than yours, who will propose things that are completely stupid. And don't be afraid to say they're stupid, even if that person has more credentials than you and has accomplished more than you, because people will do stupid things to no end. And same with the Bucks. I mean, you look at what the Bucks are wearing right now. Like, somebody actually said, let's do this. And that's a really stupid thing, but maybe the Bucs can fix it, just like the Jaguars have decided to fix it. So I just wanted to mention that. Big news, in my opinion, in the world of the Bucs. And as we get ready for this week, I mean, how much fun has it all been? I don't know, you know, if you're out there listening, you might be a hardcore football person who has tunnel vision and doesn't want to hear about anything else. You might be a jack-of-all-trades sports fan. I fall more toward the latter. I'm as happy as can be right now. October is always the best month. Always the best month. And now that we've got, obviously, football, pro and college have been in full swing for a while. The Lightning have gotten off to a great start. They're underway. We've got the Major League Baseball playoffs going on. And those few days from Thursday, I mean, there's stuff going on Tuesday and Wednesday, but from Thursday to Monday, I mean, it's just a smorgasbord. It's almost too much. Like tonight, for example, if you're listening to this on Thursday when I'm recording it, you might be listening on Friday or Saturday, but there's stuff every night. But you got Thursday night NFL football, Chiefs-Raiders. You've got college football, Houston and Memphis playing. You've got Lightning hockey. You've got a baseball playoff game, sometimes two. Sometimes they start early in the day. I don't like the NBA at all. I could, honestly, it could be played in my backyard. I wouldn't watch it. But that's getting, I mean, this is like almost like an eclipse. Like, you know how just for a couple, like, minutes there, you get that totality in some places? For a couple weeks here, it lines up where literally all four of the major sports, plus college, just a quick little, they line up. It's the sports version of an eclipse. And we get that for the next couple of weeks. So, my parting words for you regarding what's going on right now. Whether your favorite team's the Bucs, and I assume most of you it is if you're listening to this, but even if it's not, or whatever your favorite college team is doing, or this or that, hey, just have fun with it. It's a great month. Football season's been pretty rough on me so far because I'm a University of Florida guy. So, that is one season that I am riding off. I'm not afraid just to take that step at this point. And that's one coaching staff that I'm writing off. But then, oh, at least you have the Bucs, right? Well, now the Bucs have been pretty rough. I mean, we've already had the Gators and Bucs lose on the same weekend, which is like one of those things that's, in my day growing up, like having both of your teams lose on the same weekend was like maybe once a year. It was like a Black Saturday, Sunday type thing. And now it happens all the time, I mean, these days. But with the Buccaneers, I don't see that they have what it takes to do the things we hope they can do, but I would never try to convince you that I know enough to be able to tell you that either. This is a big game this weekend. This is a team they should beat this weekend. These are the exact same things that I said on the show before last weekend, and it didn't work out. But hey, I really, really mean it this time, okay? So maybe that makes a difference. Have to beat, and I'm not saying the M word, I'm not saying must win. You know what? Actually, I'm not going to say it, but it's not a ridiculous notion. Not because they can't come back from 2-4, but again, as I said before, you don't win a game like this after you didn't win a game like that on Sunday in Arizona against a crappy Arizona team. What are you clinging to? What do you think is going to happen? I don't know. Never mind how good the Bucks division is. But win this game, all's forgiven. I will be right behind them, as I always am. I will be tuned in Sunday at 1. It's just cool to see the Bucks in Buffalo, since they've only played the Bills total. I mean, I should have looked this up before the show, but I think they've only played the Bills something like 8 times total, and only once in Buffalo. For some reason in the 90s, 80s and 90s, they played Buffalo in Tampa like every few years, every 4 or 5 years consistently, always in Tampa at the Sombrero. And I remember, does anybody remember this one? I think it was 19, I have to look the year up. It was somewhere between 88 and 90, 91, somewhere in there. I don't remember exactly what year, but the Bucks weren't good, as they weren't any of those years, and the Bills were pretty good, as they were in that time frame. And they came into Raymond James, they came into Tampa Stadium one Sunday afternoon. I was a little kid. I'll tell the story real quick before sign off. It's a great story. It's one of those stories that, like, I look back at landmark moments of my childhood as a Bucks fan, and this is definitely one of them. So they played the Bills, and this is part of what helped me develop my, you know, chip on the shoulder, little engine that could mentality that I have for all Tampa sports teams, even to this day. Because the Bucks were bad, nobody ever talked about them in the national press, they were never the story, and nobody cared except for us here. You know, us against the world. And the Bills came in, and just like any other Bucks game in the fall against a team from up north, who, you know, isn't as good of a place to live as Tampa is, which there are many of them, a lot of the Buffalo fans were here. Bucks won the game that day 10-5, and I think it might be the only 10-5 final score in NFL history. I have to check on that. But Vinny Testaverde got sacked for a safety. Otherwise, the Bucks defense was just unbelievable. They shut down Jim Kelly, you know, shut the Bills offense down. There was a goal line stand late in the game where it was 10-5 in Buffalo. Instead of going for the field goal and trying to get the ball back, was going for the touchdown. The Bucks stoned him. It was a really fun day at the Sombrero. Again, one of those days. And I remember walking out of the stadium on the way back to our car, which was parked on Glen Avenue, which is one of the streets in the old neighborhood there, back off of McDill. And my dad and my uncle, at this point in their lives, they would have been like in their almost my age now, like mid-30s. And went with my dad and my uncle Mike. And there was some little kid walking by us. He was a Bucks fan. He had that little drum thing from Karate Kid. You know that, you like swivel it back and forth and it goes bum 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 bum, the little bead swing. You know what I'm talking about? He had one of those. And this kid was young. I mean, he wasn't an adult by any stretch. He might have been like 12 or something. I was 9 or 10. And he went up to some Bills fan on the way out and he started, like, you know, shuffling the thing in his face. Bum 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 bum, the little drum thing. And the guy, this is a kid, the adult Bills fan pushed the kid to the ground. And my dad and my uncle saw it. And I was with them and my grandma, Celia. And my dad and my uncle just sprinted. And they weren't the only ones to where that. And it was just an all-out melee. Like, his crew was fighting. And they were all fighting. I, like, got up on the roof of our car to get a better view of it. And I started screaming, "Go, Dad and Uncle Mike! Go, go!" Like, I was totally into it. And there was a lot of, I mean, it was something like, had to be broken up by, I don't remember if law enforcement got involved or not, but my dad came back to the car, and he had like a little blood drip on his sleeve, and I was like, whoa, like this was, you know, this is the Wild West days of the Sombrero, remember that? I mean, like, we still have some of that now at Raymond James, but it's not like it was. I mean, it used to be, you'd see a fight every single game in the stands at the Sombrero. Every game, like, I remember literally every game I ever went to at the Sombrero, at some point. Like, remember how you know a fight was happening? Because this doesn't happen now at Raymond James, barely ever. And it's weird. I mean, I guess it's a good thing, but I kind of miss it. But, like, first you kind of, like, notice people standing up in a certain section, like a random section of the stadium, and it had nothing to do with the game. They'd be looking the other way, and when, you know, when somebody in front of you stands up and looks one way, then the row behind them does it, then the row behind them, and it almost looked like an organic wave instead of the actual wave, because people start standing up and looking, and your eyes could track their movements, and eventually you'd find the epicenter, and just be two shirtless, or people in wife beaters, or, you know, typical sombrero trash, just wailing on each other. And cops or security guards, you know, those event staff guys in the yellow shirt, sprinting towards it. I mean, that happened at least once a game in the old days, maybe more. By the way, as an aside, if you want a great Hallstrom idea, sombrero trash is a fantastic... It's a little obscure, like old school Buck fans will get it. Most people at the party you're going to probably will have to have it explained to them. But if you can find, like, a tank top Buck shirt, or better yet, a Bucks t-shirt from the 80s or 90s with the sleeves cut off is even better than a tank top. Maybe a bandana, especially if it's in that Zuba pattern. Remember the Zubas? The tiger stripe, only it's orange and red. Something like that. Or the Zuba's pants are good, or cut off Zuba's pants are good. Or just get a pair of long jeans, a regular pair of jeans, and cut the jeans off at the knees. So not jorts, like manufactured jorts, but homemade jorts. Flip-flops, but the key is to have the Bucks sleeveless shirt with Bucko Bruce. And some sort of a head bandana or something like that. If you can come up with that, great costume idea. Or better yet, forget about a costume, just actually wear that to Buck games now. I think I might do that for the next Bucks game I go to. But y'all know what I'm talking about. That used to happen every single week. If you go to Bucks games, for those of you out there that go to games in person, when's the last time you saw a fight at Raymond James? Like an actual fight where, like, everybody in the section stands up and looks over, police have to come in. Yeah, I've seen a few people get ejected here and there, but not the all-out brawl, you know? And again, that's a good thing. I mean, one of the biggest complaints a lot of people have is that they can't bring kids to games because of that. Well, I was a kid when all that stuff was happening, and it was fine with me. I never got caught in a fight. I never got my mind warped. I turned out pretty normal, I think. You know, I always hear people say, I can't bring my 8-year-old kid to a Bucks game, the foul language and this and that. You know what? So what? I mean, again, that was par for the course when I was growing up at Bucks games. And it was fine. Like, it was totally fine. Your kids will be fine. Like, if you can't bring your kids to a game because they get hot and complain or their attention span's too short, hey, I get that. Believe me, I get that. I've got a 5, or now a 6-year-old and a 2-year-old. But if you're just afraid of what they might see or hear, I mean, come on, grow a pair. I heard and saw plenty of it, and it made me into who I am. And maybe that's why you're nodding your head saying, yes, exactly, that's why I don't bring my kids to the game. But either way, just something to think about. This one's on the road anyway, it's not a home game. In Buffalo, second time in franchise history, they lost the first one. One of the few things this team hasn't done, you know, at this point the Bucks are over 40 years old, but there's still a couple things they haven't done, and one of them is win a game in Buffalo at Rich Stadium, and I still call it Rich Stadium. It's Ralph Wilson Stadium now. So anyway, one more time, email me if you want to, if there's anything you want to add. I always love hearing from you. Anything you want me to use on the next week's podcast, want to hear your comments, BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com. I'm on Twitter, @BobbyGameDay. Thanks to Joe Bucks Fan and the Joes for hosting this podcast. As always, I'm incredibly fortunate to have gotten to know those guys and to be a part of this fantastic podcast network. Go Bucks. Next time I talk to you, hopefully we got a 500 football team, and we got a little hop on our step after that. In the meantime, good afternoon, good evening, good night, go Bucks, and I'll talk to you on the other side. That's the free stretch.